You're listening to the Cosmic Code Podcast for the evolution of consciousness. Here's your host, Vince Kelvin.
Welcome, everyone. You're listening to another episode of the Countdown to the Cosmic Code Convention online edition. Today, we have a very special guest. He's simply the greatest sorcerer and channeler on the planet. I personally had the privilege to do many sessions with Frank White, and it's forever improved the quality of all aspects of my life and my journey through infinity. So I'm tremendously grateful and thrilled that he will be joining us at the Cosmic Code Convention. I know many of you already work with Frank. So Frank, thank you for making the time. I know you're very busy, super productive and creative. So we really appreciate you making the time. How are you, Frank?
Doing very well, thank you. Thank you for having me, and it's an honor.
Yeah. All right. Frank, you're assisting top professionals in all fields, business, sales, entertainment, and corporation, demonstrating that magic is essential in all matters of life, and definitely dismissing the false conceptions that some who are not informed may have. Can you elaborate on how essential magic is in all settings?
Yes, and it is exactly what you said. It's about a misconception where people might think that magic and witchcraft and all that stuff has nothing to do with their lives because they're like rational people and they believe in science and all that stuff, right? But I mean, that's really just a misconception, because if you look at what the world is really about and what the world is really consisting of, it's not just physical objects. Physical is actually very, very little of what exists. It's more about energy, thoughts, vibrations, and the human being is also not necessarily a physical being only. I mean, there are many other parts to the person as well. And most problems that we face in the physical are the result of problems that started in the mental or in the spiritual realm. So magic is just the understanding of the laws of those other realms. And if the person applies those laws, they will benefit. They will be able to solve the root cause of those problems, or they will be able to affect things in a way that is not being, I mean, you can't perceive that with the physical eyes, but definitely being affected. And I mean, even if we look at modern teachings such as the law of attraction or visualization and all these things that are being practiced by, let's say, athletes, by very, very, let's say, accepted people in society, this all comes from the occult sciences. So it's not as strange as people might think. I mean, when you call something witchcraft, and you know, it gets a bad rap because the occult has been associated with forbidden, dark, scary practices that do exist. Don't get me wrong, but it's not what this whole thing is really about. It's more about evolution and consciousness, and it's not as wacky as people might think, and it's super useful, and it's definitely, I usually see that the highest level people easily understand the connection between the occult and what they do, and that's probably why they're so good at it, because they can look past the boundaries of what most people in their field see. You know, it's kind of like scientists that have a problem with metaphysics, you know, but what you will usually find is that the highest level physicists, the highest level scientists, the masters of any field, absolutely understand that there is more, meaning there's something metaphysical, if they not practice it. I mean, look at what Newton was doing. Newton was an occultist, and that applies to many, many, many other people at the highest level. I mean, you gotta be able to look past the boundaries of a field to master it, and that's what people do. And if you see it like that, I think magic and witchcraft is not that weird anymore.
Well, thank you for clarifying that, Frank. And yes, in the days of kings and queens and a variety of kingdoms, it was very common for them to consult with the occult. Now, Frank, at the time of this recording, we're in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic, and a global crisis is not an easy thing to process, even for those who manage well. So I'm curious, what would you recommend, Frank, to keep optimal at a spiritual, mental, emotional, and even physical level to truly experience wellness no matter what?
It comes back to the identity that an individual assumes. Let me give you a metaphysical explanation or description for it, and then maybe also a physical example. But, I mean, what it boils down to is this. We live in a world that can be perceived with the physical senses, but there's also a world that is overlapping this, which is the world of thought forms, the world of emotions, the world of vibrations and all that, right? So the identity that a person assumes, meaning the position, determines their emotions, determines their thoughts, and determines their vibration, essentially. And based on that, since we got a law of resonance, which is a law of the occult, you know, like attracts like, they begin to resonate with what their individuality or what their identity resonates with. So they begin to attract that, right? So it's less about what is happening on a global scale, in my opinion. It is more about what identity the individual assumes. And the individual can have a big influence over the outcomes in their own life just by determining who they want to be. Are they a winner from this crisis, or are they a loser? Are they a victim, or are they going to be able to take advantage of some opportunities? Because we all know that any crisis brings opportunities with it as well. It's just a change of circumstances, and if they position themselves in the right way, the right position, they could even benefit from it. I mean, that applies to everybody, but it all starts with the identity that a person assumes. Now, how do you assume an identity? Like I said, an identity is, when you get up in the morning, do you let your mind just go into all kinds of directions and let it be triggered by some external influence, and then it goes wherever it wants? Or do you take the time to maybe use some affirmations to prime yourself in the right way so that you move from a point of purpose? Or do you know the direction that you want to take? Do you have your daily goals in mind? And that's really what it is about. So who are you? Who are you? Now, what is an identity? An identity, in my opinion, can be best described in terms of activities. You are what you do on a repetitive basis. So what's people's routine? Okay. A lot of people are not working right now. How are they structuring their days? You know, so it really comes down to that. I mean, pick your identity, and from that identity, you will have certain activities, and those activities will then lead you to certain outcomes. That's really how it works.
It reminds me of Robert Dale's hierarchy, where the core of it was identity, and that's been the point of focus of the work of many brilliant people. So thank you so much, Frank. You mentioned the law of attraction. It's kind of something that most people are aware of, so they tackle a little bit. But when it comes to the concept of manifestation, what are your best recommendations for manifestation? It's a question that comes quite often. How do you manifest what you really want?
Yes, that's indeed a very, very important question. Now, we have to look at physics here. When we look at nuclear physics, just like it's a big word, but it essentially just means what is radioactivity? What does radioactivity do? Radioactivity just means that that physical material is emitting energy. So it's on the verge of being solid and being energy. Okay? What that shows us is that there's a connection between energy and matter, and the connection is that matter, physical matter, is just condensed energy. Okay? So what is energy? Energy is energy is directed focus. I mean, when we look at our emotions, we could say that they're energy in motion, right? So we can generate emotional energy and direct it towards a certain outcome. Now, so manifestation is essentially just taking an idea, feeding enough energy into it until it has materialized in the physical world. All right? Now, we can do that in a ritual, and that's ritual magic, that's witchcraft. Yeah. I mean, there are rituals for different purposes. I mean, there are rituals for mystical insight and other things. Other rituals are definitely done to affect the physical world in a certain way and to create very, very concrete results. Now, in a ritual, a thought form is being created through the imagination of the magician, and then emotions are being fed into that thought form, into that idea, into that image. And that's an art all by itself, but what it essentially entails is to put oneself into that situation completely and to fully experience it. And in the process, a lot of emotional energy is pushed into that outcome. And what you will then see is that circumstances, coincidences in the physical world will align themselves to match the outcome that was being energized. You know, and as a result of that, the ritual will become real. Now, that would be an application of that in ritual magic. But essentially, everything that we do in the physical world has to follow the same direction, if that makes sense. So, a person has, let's say, the idea of creating a business or something like that. That starts as an idea. Now, that idea, like we understand, has to be energized until it becomes a real thing. Okay, and let's look at something like, I don't know, Amazon, the biggest, is it the biggest company right now? I don't know, but at one point it was an idea in somebody's mind, right? Now, over the course of many, many years of energizing it, it is now a real thing. Now, on a smaller scale, anything else works in the same way. So we have to continuously motivate ourselves, continuously put ourselves into the emotional state that matches the outcome. And as we continuously do it, we will take the actions. And as we do that, we bring it into physical materialization. Now, the problem is that we have time, and most people lose motivation along the way, right? But motivation is just not being able to see the outcome internally. That's really the key. I mean, if you can see it internally, if you can really experience it internally, there will be no lack of motivation. But most people lose motivation along the way. They don't energize things long enough until they actually come about. But if they knew that the process is really that, it's thought form, energy, and physical manifestation, and it has to come into the physical world. If you give it enough energy, people would stick with it longer. But they don't understand that there's an energizing process that needs to take place, and you need to stay continuously motivated. Sometimes over the course of the years, you know, on a daily basis, consistently feed energy into the thing. And when I say feed energy, taking physical actions is also feeding energy into that outcome. So it's not just about your emotions, not just about your thoughts. So you sometimes have to do things physically as well, of course. Yeah. But for that, in order to do the right things, you need motivation, and motivation comes from feeling the outcome already. You know? So as usual, as within, so without. Another problem with manifestation is this. Like I said, what we pay attention to, we energize, we resonate with, right? So here's the process. as we have a goal, a thought form, we try to bring it into physical manifestation. So we, let's say, move towards the outcome. We energize it, we take certain actions, and inevitably, problems, barriers will arise that separate us, our current state, from the outcome that we want. Now, the barriers are not a problem. I mean, they're problems, but they're not a problem, if that makes sense. The mistake that most people do make at that point is to pay attention to the problem, to pay attention to the barrier. But we know that what we feed energy into, what we feed attention, accelerates or grows in our life. You know, so as they pay attention to the problem, more problems arise. And as they pay attention to those more problems, it grows exponentially, and they get completely distracted and sidetracked. The right way to deal with obstacles along your path is actually to keep feeding the end result. And as a byproduct of that energizing process, the problems along the way will be resolved. Okay. Now, how do you do that practically? Because sometimes it's going to be hard. I'm like, what do you tell me? What do you tell me? Do I just ignore my problems and just keep focusing on the end result that I want? No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is that when you continuously keep your inner world connected to the outcome that you want, that's when the solutions are going to arise. What we have to understand is that the world responds to vibration. So if you focus on the problem, more problems are going to come. So internally, you have to acknowledge that there's a problem, but you emotionally have to already be connected to the outcome. And as you do that, the solutions to the problem are going to come to you. It's literally like a connection to an alternate reality that you're plugged into or that you're connected to. And on that timeline, in that reality frame or reality tunnel, as long as you stay connected to the end result, there is a solution to the problem. If you are plugged into a reality tunnel through your emotions that is not connected to your end result, there might not be a solution to your problem, you see. So it's literally about what you do internally, and this is how you should navigate. Internally, stay connected to the outcome that you want, and as you do that, the problems that come along the way, the obstacles, can be overcome because it's part of this reality tunnel that you're creating. That the problem must be resolved, otherwise you wouldn't reach that end result. And that's literally how it practically works, and people apply that, they will see that it actually works. And by the way, I gave people the secrets of life right now. I just want people to really understand that. And I'm sure if they go back and listen to it again, they will know.
Frank, it leads me to a fast sub-question. I often come across the common concern that people may have, that they are concerned that if they accidentally focus on something that they don't want, that it could manifest itself. So then they kind of slow down their own manifestation. So what recommendations for people who are concerned that, okay, well, if we can manifest like that, what if suddenly I think one bad thought somewhere and it comes to be? I know it's a little foolish, and yet I've commonly had people express that concern, and I would love if you can help clarify that.
Yeah, that comes from an overemphasis on thoughts. Thoughts are not that important, if that makes sense. Thoughts are very fleeting, and once again, it's all about energy. So when we compare the power of a thought, it's very little energy. There is some energy there, but it's very little energy. Emotions, however, have a much greater energy to them. So it really is about what you feel. It's not about what you think. I mean, of course, the two are connected. You can manipulate or you can move your thoughts into a certain, you can move your emotions into a certain direction by thinking about certain things. You know, of course they're interconnected, but just because you imagine something real quick, it's not going to manifest. I mean, it takes an enormous amount of energy and emotional energy to make something happen like that. You're not going to attract a supernova just because you just thought about it. That's not how it works. It's way too little energy.
Yeah, and there's a key factor that you mentioned earlier of the ability to sustain motivation. So, Frank, there's the rules of the world, which vary depending on demographics. There's personal rules, which depends on the individual. But what about higher rules of nature, the universe? What are they, in your opinion?
Okay, higher rules of nature and the universe. I would say the seven hermetic principles, where essentially it's a vibrational universe. It is a universe, it's a mental universe, meaning everything starts in the mental realm. It's a universe of cycles. I think that's what most people don't really want to accept. As far as I can see, it seems that everything has to happen instantaneously, but I think the biggest part is that a lot of us have forgotten that we're part of a bigger system. Yes, we are individuals, but we're part of nature too. We're part of a huge energy system, which is called the universe. And our physical existence is not necessarily that significant when it comes to all of that. So the best approach, in my opinion, is to look for those laws and to live in harmony with them. Let me give you an example. There are cycles in life, cycles where you will be able to make certain things happen easier, and other times where you have to be more introverted, or rather introspective, and you have to work on certain things, lay the foundation, create an internal structure. And then there are other phases in life where you have to exert yourself more, create things. I mean, it's all everything happens in cycles. Nothing can be kept at the same rate throughout the entire time. And you can see that with seasons, the seasonality of life. You can even see that with specific cycles. You know, everything has cycles, and if people pay attention to that, they will see that. Even with this interview, there was a beginning cycle where the first couple of words, the energy had to be moved into the process, and now it's taking off, and then later the energy is going to be drained again. It's everything has cycles. And I think that's the biggest thing. People need to understand their own cycles, their own biorhythm, and the cycles in the universe, in nature. And by the way, this is not something that people have to find out necessarily, because all of that is known since thousands of years. And then, once again, if people would look into the occult sciences, they could see that there are planetary hours, meaning different planetary hours give Earth's atmosphere different energies and different points in time. Okay, so 9 a.m. has a different energetic quality than 9 p.m., and you can do different things better at 9 a.m. than others. And we're plugged into a massive machine, a spiritual energetic machine. And when we find our place in this machine, we are being backed by forces that are so much greater. And this has nothing to do with ego. It's not like you become Superman or something like that. It's not like you start buzzing with crazy energy. It's not what I'm saying, but you begin to live in harmony with the universe, and that's very, very powerful. Yeah.
So, Frank, in the bigger picture of infinity, you know, in people's commitment to have a great life, which is still to be defined, what to you is most essential that would constitute of a life and incarnation that was well worth it and aligned with a higher purpose? You know, how would you personally measure the quality of one's life in the big picture of infinity?
Yeah, okay, that's a big question. Now, first of all, I think that depends on the individual, but I'm going to let you know my own personal opinion about that. Okay, well, the existence that we have here requires that we find a reason to live. I mean, all of us, we need a reason to live. Once we can eat on a daily basis and then the fundamental stuff is being covered, we have to create a reason first. And it's literally about that. If people don't have a purpose yet, I would just recommend that they invent one, you know, create a reason for it. And to a large extent, that's really the point. I mean, it's really inventing a reason for you to be here. Now, life is not necessarily a movement towards an end goal, if that makes sense. Evolution is not necessarily directed towards ever increasing, betterment. That's not necessarily how it works. It's not that evolution is directed towards, improvement necessarily. It's more about a game that allows us experience. That's how I see it. All of life is a game that allows us specific experiences, and the experiences allow us to play a game that we can grow with. We can have experiences, we can learn, we can understand things better. And that's really it. I don't believe that there's an actual purpose for life. It's the purpose is to grow and to learn about existence. That's really it. So everybody plays their own game. Is there a universal truth? Probably not. You know, it's ideas that we have, and some ideas we choose to believe in. But I believe the real game is just a game of experiences. Now, there are certain things that are rewarding in a sense that they make you feel happier. So if your purpose or the idea that you have makes you help other people and they benefit from it, you will feel better about it, and you will actually see that this game starts helping you out. So if your purpose is helping other people through what you do, you will see that you will actually be rewarded, and this game will allow you to do it better. How? You will be more, you will be luckier. You will see that if you start ripping people off, your numbers will go down. You will actually be punished for it. So that tells me that this game wants me to act in an altruistic way, to an extent. Okay, of course not stupidly, but it wants me to help other people. That's what the game is telling me. That's the feedback mechanism. Okay, and that's literally how I try to analyze things. So my purpose is basically just doing what I love to do, and ideally helping other people with it. And yeah, doing it in the right way, and I look for the feedback mechanism from the universe.
Beautiful. Frank, you mentioned rhythms and cycles, and what I get from a lot of people is, you know, kind of the addiction, the desire to be able to keep on stacking, like, one way, as you mentioned before, no rhythm will eventually only last and sustain itself. So you had mentioned in many of the astonishing sessions I had done with you, you had mentioned a certain principle. I do not recall the name. I remember you had given it a name, to embrace more naturally a dynamic in which we are on at times and off, you know, something very Taoist, and yet it was very helpful to me to no longer have that expectation that tomorrow will be a greater replication of today, but almost like the rhythms of the breath in, off. Can you elaborate on this? And I'm not sure if you recall specifically the terminology you had shared with me, like the sway of the pendulum.
Yeah, I think it was regression to the mean. When we look at cycles, we will have ups and downs. And when we look at, this is actually a law that comes out of statistics. With any phenomena, there is a there's a normal distribution. So a normal distribution means that most cases, 80% of the cases, fall into a certain bandwidth of events, if that makes sense. Okay, let me give you an example. Most people are, let's say, a certain height, okay? And they are, I mean, it's very rare that you get people that are 4'5", and it's very, very rare that you get people that are 7'5", okay? Most people are somewhere in between that, if that makes sense, okay? So that's a normal distribution. 80% or more than 80% of the people are somewhere in the middle. So when we look at things that happen or the outcome that happens, some of them are good, some of them are bad, but most outcomes that we have are somewhere in the middle. It's rare that we have very, very bad things happening, and it's very, very rare that we have extremely good things happening, right? So everything is kind of like in the center. What we can do is consistently improve the mean, if that makes sense. But that happens over time. So we can increase our baseline, and we will have cycles along those. We will have outliers along those events. So you're guaranteed, let's say you have a very, very bad day, you will be guaranteed to have a better day tomorrow because everything moves towards mean. Okay, that's called regression to the mean. So everything will stay within a certain range. So let's say you have a very, very, like I said, very, very bad day. It's almost guaranteed that you're going to have a much better day tomorrow because on average, you will have a certain quality of life. So what you can do is over time, consistently improve the quality, meaning the mean of your experiences. But that doesn't happen instantaneously. What you will find, though, and since we are like in daily life, we're really, really focused on the smaller picture. We're focused on our immediate experiences, right? And since we don't look at the bigger picture, we lose track oftentimes. So people will have, like, let's say, this amazing spiritual insight and this amazing illuminating event happening yesterday. The next day, everything just seems to go wrong. Everything just seems to, like, and they start doubting themselves. They start doubting their entire mission. They start doubting life, like, you know. But it's not like that. That's how the universe works. Everything tends to come back to the average. Okay? So that's really what I meant with it. And, yeah, of course, that doesn't just apply to yeah, and that doesn't just apply to days. That applies to months, years, and much more. And, you know, I think it's just better. It's just important to look at the bigger picture. Yeah.
Yeah, I think also at the standpoint of my specialty, you know, the art of pickup and dating and so on, it's priceless information what you just shared, because there's a tendency for many to think that if they interact with one person and it goes quite well, they're on a high, or if it does not appear to go well, they tend to feel close to giving up, when in fact I've adopted that naturally myself some time ago, where I know that it will return to something that's kind of more normal. So I never take the extremes too seriously. I just wanted to outline this so those who listen and don't know how this can also apply to the dynamic of social arts, then I wanted to make that connection for them. Well, Frank, there's the tendency that many have to be impatient, so we want to manifest right now. We think we're just going to do the ritual and turn around and it's there. My experience in working with you was that there's a certain timing with it, and sure enough, it comes into play. How to best understand and align with, I call it personally divine timing, but, you know, universal timing, to avoid becoming impatient when doing rituals and things like that?
Okay, well, I think there are individual levels of of impatience. Everybody is impatient to an extent. Some people are more impatient than others. I believe that we have to respect nature. We have to respect the process, and that's really. I mean, when we look, I'm going to have to speak a little bit from an occultist perspective here. When we look at Earth and the conditions that we live in here. We're in Malkuth, right? And Malkuth is really, to a large extent, restriction. And restriction is the nature of Saturn. It's the energetic quality of Saturn. So to a large extent, we're here to deal with these conditions of learning patience, learning the value of discipline, learning consistency, and I mean, there's value within that itself, and the process must be respected. And it's not about the object necessarily. And I think you would agree. For me, the greatest value of learning this art is the person that I've become. It's not necessarily the things that I'm able to manifest with it. It's not necessarily the things that that I can do with it. In fact, you know, this is what they mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, or was it in the Vedas? I don't know. Some of those Hindu scriptures, they talk about the abilities that will be developed as your consciousness and your awareness grows. And they also mention that simultaneously, as you learn to have these things, or as you learn to use those abilities, those siddhis, at the same time, you will lose your desire to use them, and that's very true. So, I found that it's more about the process of becoming somebody than manifesting something externally. And only once you have become the person that is capable of doing certain things, let's say you do pickup, you have to become a certain person that is capable of doing these things, or what I do in magic or whatever. It's the person that you become, what comes, you know, brings us back to the identity. And if people focus on that, I think it's going to liberate them a little bit from the external manifestations. I mean, if you're constantly focused on the external manifestation, then that's a fool's game, because this is an illusion. You know, I'm sure that, and I mean, this is self. Self-reported. A lot of people want to be rich these days. However, what they will find is, you know, and that's self-reported by many people that have all the money in the world, that this is it's not as rewarding as people might think. It's essentially being able to have all these toys, but it doesn't do anything to the person internally anymore, because it's like a piece of chocolate, and if you had too much chocolate, it's not fun anymore to have any chocolate. It's actually torture anymore. And the same applies to any physical toy, and the same applies to any external manifestation. If we, however, focus on self-development, if we focus on the person that we become, yeah, those external manifestations are going to be part of it, but that's not what should be the motivation. You know, it's who do I want to become? It's a journey of becoming. Your identity is the game. Who are you? And if people focus on that, patience is not going to be a problem. I mean, you're going to take your rewards as they come, but they're not going to be something that's going to sustain your motivation for a long period of time. It must be who you become.
Frank, how does one begin the journey of practicing and incorporating magic in their daily life? And also something for those who are already incorporating that, the furthering of it. So how does one begin, and how does one further incorporating and practicing magic in their daily lives?
Yes, it is essentially, I believe, once you begin to see yourself as part of nature, you're getting very close. Let me give you an example. Today is Wednesday, right? Wednesday is dedicated or is connected to the energy of Mercury, for instance. So when you get up in the morning, as the identity of a magician, you would do first a little bit of exercise to get your energy moving, and then you would do a meditation and connect to some sort of spiritual force, which is Mercury. And then you begin to align yourself with the energies that are ruling the planet today. From that, there might be some rituals that you do that connect you to the greater consciousness around us. And then you have to do your daily work and whatnot. But understand that everything can be used as a ritual and can be used as a tool to commune with spirits. And it really just depends on your perspective. When you take a shower, are you just focused on your body, or are you paying attention to the energy around you and how it's being cleansed as well? Do you use incense? Are you aware when you walk into a room or when you walk into a certain environment what the energy is doing to you and how it is affecting your inner world? I mean, that would be a whole different conversation, right? I mean, how spirits and energies affect us. But are you aware of that? I think essentially it comes boils down to the understanding that everything physical has an energetic counterpart and a spiritual counterpart. And the physical is actually just the result of something that happened to it spiritually and vibrationally. So I think a magician is somebody that just understands the laws of the invisible and manipulates the invisible to create certain physical events. And that's really what it is about. Use incense. Understand that your emotions are very, very important, and what you feel determines a lot of what goes on around you. And understand that you're walking into not just a physical environment, but that there is a spiritual environment as well, and that there are entities around that need to be acknowledged, that need to be given offerings, that need to be helped in some way or another, or at least have a working relationship with them. And that's really it. Just paying attention to this other world.
So rich, so deep, so broad, so high. In conclusion, Frank, the greatest realizations for human evolution that came from your practice.
That it never ends. That it never ends. It's. I'm 100% convinced that reincarnation is real. I have a lot of anecdotal evidence for that, but I mean, once people go deeper into practices like meditation or, you know, even hypnosis or something like that, out of body travels, they will have experiences that are just undeniable. And once the person or the being realizes that they're a spiritual being rather than a physical being, the whole game changes. And the realization is just that this is it's much more than just procreation and getting physical objects or getting rich or whatever people want to do. It's a spiritual game, and your soul is on a journey that will never end. And that's really the only that's the biggest realization for me. Because everything else is just it's an experience, temporary. And alongside, you have people that are on the same journey or similar journeys, and you know, you meet people, and you're here to experience things. So let's not take things too serious. That's pretty much the realization.
Well, Frank, thank you so much for this interview, for everything you bring to each event, for everything you have brought to me through all the sessions that I had the privilege to do with you. And would you care to share your social media?
Yes, people will best find me on YouTube. My channel name is Grail of the Serpent. Grail of the Serpent. My Instagram, which is where I spend most of my time right now, I'm hardly ever on Facebook, is Aurelius Sopex. Instagram/Aurelius Sopex. One word. Aurelius, A-U-R-E-L-I-U-S, S-O-P-E-X, Aurelius Sopex. And that's really it. I mean, I closed down most of my programs right now. Who knows what happens in the future, but you can still learn a lot from watching my Instagram and YouTube video, for sure.
I hope they'll get to do that. And also, side note, yet congratulations for your performance in the movie Light Visions. We were here in Los Angeles. We got an award for the movie Best Sci-Fi, as well as witnessed the premiere of it. So we didn't get to congratulate you, yet Frank was also part of the movie in which AZD, myself, and quite a few others were featured that won an award here in Hollywood. So it's amazing. Eventually, all the things that come together along the path. Once again, thank you so very much, Frank. Of course, Frank will be at the Cosmic Code Online Edition Convention, where we focus on three primary aspects of your life. It's four entire days, the largest bracket of speakers ever, four entire days. When you register, you automatically, as a gift, get the two prior convention recording. I'm keeping the tab very minimal to support everyone who may not currently be employed or getting a paycheck and so on. And we focus, of course, on establishing the kind of career that you most love, do what you love how to do it, and thrive, hopefully from home and so on. So we have experts for that. Also, a total reboot at the mental, emotional, and spiritual level with astonishing healers, and finally, communication and social arts. You'll find the website address, Cosmic Code Convention, in the description of the podcast. Thank you so much, Frank, everybody. Thank you for listening. Be certain you subscribe to the podcast. I'm doing a new interview every single day, part of the countdown to the convention. And meanwhile, you were listening to the Cosmic Card Podcast. I am Vince Kelvin, and today we had a very special guest from Germany, the world's greatest sorcerer, channeler, and master of occult art, Frank White. Thank you, Frank. Thank you, everybody. Until the next one.
To experience the magic of the world's largest online convention ever, go to CosmicCodeConvention.com.